The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago! Just after 9 in the great city of Chicago, Courtney Cronin's in for Hoodie, who's on vacation. Shay's the EP. Our guy Jake Cantu, 113 pounds, dripping wet, headed off to Dallas. Do you know he's going? He's on the Dallas trip for the shows. Jake is a Dallas kid. I did not know that.
Is that where you're from?
Yes, from the suburbs of Dallas.
Which
Arlington.
One?
Arlington.
Okay, where the stadium is.
The stadiums are at.
How about that?
So you can walk to the stadium on Sunday.
Exactly.
He's going to get to see his parents. I think that's awesome. Very cool that Danny's sending you on that trip. Jake?
All glory to DZ.
There you go. A couple of people weighing in before we get back to the Bears. Uncle Sal says a straw is a tunnel. Dub Williams, my guy, says I'm with that the cat man. Where does the first hole end if you guys are saying it's two? A hole isn't just an entry point. It's a void, right? Jonathan says, Cap, a container has one hole. Why not meese? That's English. How does right, R-I-T-E, right, R-I-G-H-T, and right, W-R-I-T-I-T-E, all sound the same and write the same? It's interesting. John O-H, Cap's right. It's one hole. If you took a drill and drill the hole all the way through your dining room table, it's still just one hole. And that caller was wrong because the straw isn't two-dimensional, so that axis doesn't apply to the real world. Take that. So I guess you're wrong, Shay.
No, I'm right. I'm sticking to my guns here. I'm right.
Here's another one. If you punch a hole in a piece of paper, it's a single hole. You don't think of it as a hole on each side. Don't get caught up on the length of the hole or the straw. Sorry.
Well, that's two-dimensional. A piece of paper, right? So it'd be flat.
Yeah.
Like, this thing is three-dimensional. I count one hole up here. One on the bottom. I understand the tunnel aspect. I think that's the shaft of the straw. If we're going to call that a tunnel, that makes sense. But there's an entry point to the tunnel up here and an entry point at the bottom.
But where does the entry point on top end?
You enter, you're in the tunnel, and then you exit at the bottom. That's the exit point. So point one, point A to point B. I can't be the only one who sees it this way. I mean, I know Shay backs me on this, but...
I wouldn't bear your flag on this. Shay backs me on this. He's out of his mind.
All right.
Here's one.
You're out of your mind.
Someone just tweeted at us, does a pothole have two entry points? No, but it's still called a hole. So there's one. That would back your logic.
There you go. Let's go back to football. We'll get to your calls in a second. Robert Quinn was traded yesterday. How does it affect your opinion on the team? How does it affect your opinion of the front office? Here is Ryan Poles on trading Robert Quinn.
I've hit on this before. Obviously, part of the tough thing with this job and this position are the tough decisions you have to make. And I always feel like there's the emotional side, the human part of it that you know you're affecting not only a man, but also his family, and you're kind of shaking that all up. And I don't take that lightly at all, and I'm sensitive to that. You also know that you're tweaking the fibers of your locker room, and that's a big deal too. And he meant a lot to that locker room, but I'm fully confident that the guys, especially on the defensive side, the Jalen Johnsons, the Eddie Jacksons, the Roquan Smiths, Justin Jones, those guys are going to continue to hold it down and be leaders on that defense and help us continue to move forward. Then on the business side, you know, it just made too much sense for what we're trying to do. It's going to allow us to continue to build a highly competitive roster. I think the other thing, too, on the business side and really the football side is I just really trust you know, Gibson, Muhammad, Dom Robinson, Kingsley Jonathan, those guys are going to continue to do a good job. And just to kind of finish everything up, I also want to give, you know, Ian Cunningham a lot of credit. He put a lot of work into this. Obviously, his relationship with Howie went a long ways. There's a lot of trust there. And I also want to thank Howie for his part as well.
There you go. Howie being Howie Roseman, the head of the Philadelphia Eagles. He sees, I got a chance to win a Super Bowl here.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth round pick, tell the owner, yeah, it's a steep price, but when are we going to be in this position again where we feel like we can win the Super Bowl? And if you go back to the Chiefs and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, what happened? They couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes, and they won the Super Bowl, the Bucs. That's why you make a deal for a guy like this.
And, I mean, the Rams are a big part of that, too, last mm-hmm. year. They felt they were a pass rusher away. It's not like you're going to fully remake your roster at the trade deadline. It doesn't work the way that other sports may utilize their respective trade deadlines to upgrade and potentially change the outlook of things and ship off expensive assets. But with Robert Quinn being part of what the Bears were doing and his production not being this year what it was last year, and knowing that he still is a very effective pass rusher, I think that shows you the fourth round draft capital that you got for him, that shows you how he's viewed around the league, that people realize the situation that he's in here, that he can go thrive when he's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. And looking at, you know, his stats, like, I mean, I've some of the numbers for the last couple years for him. So he has the highest pass rush win rate as an edge defender since the metric was first started, that was created by NextGen and ESPN Analytics in 2017. Highest over that entire span, that's holding your blocks, or I guess defeating your blocks for 2.5 seconds, over 27% of his pass rushes. That's really impressive.
That's number one in the NFL.
And you can, he's 32 years old. Pass rushers hit their prime and they age differently than other defensive positions like cornerback, like safety. So he could have theoretically 3-4 more years of playing at this level. A lot of pass rushers come on into kind of the second wave of their career, 32, 33, 34. And he's got 2 more years left on this current contract that he signed with the Bears, which was the 5-year deal in 2020. So it was a no-brainer move, especially when you see the fourth round pick, because I was skeptical. I remember coming on, you and I talked about it last week. I think I talked with Waddle and Sylvie about it too. If the pick was going to be a sixth or a seventh rounder,
you're like yeah.
No, I wouldn't have done it. But gosh, the fourth round pick, to me, that's the draft capital you would have expected to see back in April, back in May, around the time of the draft.
And again, that does not mean that they spend their money wisely. The record is what the record is. George has not had success as the president and chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's chairman. Ted is president. They have not had any success. That's a fact. But people who say they're cheap are wrong. They spend a ton of money, whether it's Jay Cutler for $136 or Khalil Mack for whatever he got, or charter a jet and go sign Julius Peppers for $90-something. They spend. They don't always spend wisely. They just bought a fourth-round pick for almost $8 million.
That's a smart business strategy. It's what good teams do, because Ryan Poles is somebody who wants to build through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He's been adamant about that, and I think you have to respect that he's been pretty steadfast on what he wants to do. Your draft capital for next year, if you're the Chicago Bears, as it stands right now, first-round pick, second-round pick, third, 2 fourths, including the one from the Eagles, a fifth-rounder, and a seventh-rounder. So that's 7 picks right there without factoring in
comp picks
that you're going to get. And you and I were talking about it off air, just naming the players that could and should be eligible for them. You could get quite a few. And if you're Ryan Poles, looking at what you're, I mean, obviously the next 10 games and what Justin Fields does, and if he proves to you, like doubles down and proves to you, I am worth building around, you can adjust your strategy however you want. If you're playing with this much draft capital, they could have upwards of 11 picks again.
There's no question. And that if at the end of the year you went, is Justin the guy? Yes, he is. Record's not great, but yes, Justin is the guy. All of a sudden, if there's a quarterback there where you're picking mm-hmm. at 4, 5, 6, whatever, wherever they're picking, they got 3 number ones for Trey Lance, Exchange, and 2 more. let's trade back. All of a sudden, you have two number ones and a two, whatever the capital is. You, and $130 million approximately in cap space,
yep.
You could dramatically fix your roster.
And when you talk about the amount that this team wants to spend, I mean, there's cap space, and then there's the amount of cash that ownership is truly willing to delve out for contracts.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the rubber is going to meet the road for this team. How much are they willing to spend in free agency? Because they will have the resources to do it. They will be, they're 125 and a half right now under the cap for 2023.
Correct.
And that number can continue to grow. And that's like doubled. That's like $50 million more than the next best team. They have to be aggressive. Like, all signs point to this being their strategy by the way that this has played out, because of how much money getting Khalil Mack's contract off the books helped the Bears set themselves up for 2023. And now getting Robert Quinn's contract off the books and paying for a fourth round draft pick in the process, you're setting yourself up to be very active. Like, March, April, May with the draft.
You'll be busy.
Busy. Very busy time next year for the Bears.
Here is the owner of the Golden State Warriors. I want one owner in our town to speak like this.
The truth of the matter is, I'm about only one thing in my rest of my life, and that's winning and winning championships. Mm-hmm. I'm maniacal. It's all I care about. That's it. And we've done really well. We've won four in 8 years, which is incredible. We made six finals in 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, there was somebody else that did this as an owner, Jerry Buss. I look up to him. 33 years of ownership, 16 finals.
Wow.
So that 50% rate is a pretty, I don't know that we can continue that, but I'm sure as hell going to try.
Right.
That's my goal. That's my goal, is to have this team be great.
I want one owner to go, you know what? I don't care franchise values or cash flow. All I want is to win rings.
In a way, is that not what Les Snead and the Rams kind of their stance on it? Because everybody's so concerned about, yeah, everybody's so concerned about draft capital or really high first round draft picks, all of that. They said, we're going to do it our way.
Correct.
Like, and they've kind of gone their own way, which I don't know if it's going to be the norm and people are going to start to follow that in the NFL. But that's kind of when I hear Joe Lacob on that, that's kind of where my mind goes.
Agreed. Robert Quinn was traded yesterday. Phone lines are hopping. We're going to get to your calls. How does it affect your opinion on the team, the front office, the future, and the deal? We'll be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Debate on our straw conversation. Shay, Cedric at Seti Beard. He's a longtime listener. He says, nope, team, it's one long hole here. The hallway analogy was eye-opening. You guys are distracted by the physical object length distance of the straw. Enter a hallway and exit the other end. It's still one hallway, hence the hole. Great debate material. Bearlissimo, our Bears guy. It's a cylinder. It's one hole throughout its length. Take that. Vicky McHenry, of course, doesn't agree with me.
It's because she's got a great head on her shoulders. She's a brilliant lady, and she deserves to be respected. She understands that it's two holes.
I'm with you guys on the straw. Two holes. Take that at the cat, man.
Where did this come from again, Shay? This wasn't the Jeopardy thing, right?
No, it was a couple weeks ago. It was National Free Thought Day. The Jeopardy thing just sparked that back in my brain because I wanted to ask if the plural of goose is geese. Why is the plural of moose not meese?
I really like these free thought things, though. I kind of want to debate some other ones.
Are awesome.
When I come back on Tuesday, can we do these?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. And Tuesday, I don't know why. It works out great because I live right near there. Danny said, yeah, you know, we want to kind of get you out in the suburbs a little bit because you're always in the city. Okay. What am I doing? You and I are doing the show because Hoodie's on vacation in the Indiana Dunes. We are going to Espresso, my favorite breakfast spot. They have one in Glenview, yep, in the Glen, across from Dino's Sports Fan Shop in the Glen. So I usually get breakfast, go buy a jersey for me or my son, and then go home. Well, this one's in Bannockburn. So you and I are going to be in Bannockburn per Danny. My guy Gus set it up, and we are good to go. So if you're going to come by, have breakfast on Tuesday morning from 7 to 10, Courtney and I will be in there eating breakfast, talking sports.
They have great customer service. I'll give them, like, awesome. I will say that that's one of the first things I noticed about the one in Glenview. We got, something was wrong with our order, and the entire order got comped.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
They're awesome. And Gus, the owner, his real name is Konstantinos. He's a good Greek man, like my wife. And my guy Danny is one of the waiters up at the one in Bannockburn. So come see us on Tuesday. Yeah, it's 5 minutes from my house. Bam! Right to work. So, anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones because Robert Quinn was traded yesterday. And we were asking your opinion. Has it changed on front office, on the coaching staff, on the team? The whole deal. Do you like the trade? We'll start with Steven in Highland Park. He's next. Hey, Steve. What's up, Sparky?
Hey, Cappy. Love you, man. You're great.
Appreciate you.
I don't believe that hoodie's in the dunes either. There's no way.
He is.
But it's hilarious. I love it. So, personally, Robert Quinn, great person, unbelievable human, but overrated in my opinion. And I was saying the same thing last year, when he had 18 sacks. I don't think he helps the Bears' defense be a better defense, personally. I know he has these great numbers, but if you look at, like, plays where he doesn't make them and flying up the field and losing outside contain, I love the move. I think it's great. Next man up. And I just feel like Robert Quinn doesn't necessarily help teams win games. And I think the data, you know, you could say data, you want to believe in data, but in this case, I just personally believe the upside, yes, but the downside on how many times there's blown plays as a result of him, in my opinion, I love the move. I think it's great, and, you know, I wish him the best. And, you know, hey, anyone playing next to Khalil Mack or playing opposite of Khalil Mack, you know, might just receive some less, you know, double team.
Yeah, so, except 52% of his sacks last year came when Mack and Hicks were out with injury.
That's a great point, but I just don't think he helps the team win. I clearly could be wrong, probably am, but I just, from what I see when I watch these Bears games and I watch him, you know, I see him a lot of times missing that outside contain, and it's a big play that result.
Hey, man, have a good day.
Yeah, take care.
Appreciate you. Chase is on the south side of the city. Chase, what's up, Sparkles?
What up, Cupcake?
How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, Miss Cornyn.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm a big fan of your of you too. Just to let you know.
Thank you. I appreciate.
I think you do a great job with your Bears coverage.
Thank you.
I got a question for you. As far as the receivers, N'Keal Harry. I was looking at it and I was wondering, like, I like how they use them in the middle field, but I also want to see if they can use some more, like, in the red zone, like as a jump ball player, because I actually like the fact that they got a big receiver now. And I'm wondering, like, given the fact of what's going on with Brian Pringle coming back, what do you think they're going to do as far as the rotation with the receivers, given the fact that, I mean, I know that as far as the receiver position, they're not talented, but they do have a lot of positions, like a lot of guys that juggling in and out as far as receivers. So I was just wondering how they plan on using the receiver rotation, and I hang up and listen.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think to your point about N'Keal Harry, I mean, he brings something that no one else on this roster has, which, you know, really, there's a couple different guys. Like, Velus Jones has speed that nobody else has in that receiver room. N'Keal Harry has size. He's 6'4", 225, so to be that contested catch threat for Justin Fields, to be a threat in the red zone with jump balls, I mean, I think that that's absolutely how the Bears should utilize him. And yeah, one catch for 14 yards and his return to football and his return in New England, he's still learning the playbook too. Like, when I talked to him last week about why he was a healthy scratch, he kind of said, well, they don't want to set me up for failure. I had just gotten off of injured reserve. I had a couple days of practice before that Washington game with Justin Fields. So he's got a legitimate excuse of, I'm still learning the playbook, still learning the offense, trying to get up to speed. Now, he's got an incredible physical tool set that others don't have that I'd like to see them tap into. Be that threat over the middle of the field, because you're not getting that sort of production that we thought you'd get from Cole Kmet in that role. So let N'Keal Harry be that. Let him be your big body X. I mean, for as tall and big as Equanimeous St. Brown is, doesn't really get separation all, you know, on a consistent basis like that. And I think that Harry, in the role that he can play in this offense, I'd like to see them give him a shot at that. So, I mean, this week against Dallas will be a good test, because that's 3 full weeks where he's been fully healthy, 2 where he'll be, you know, part of the game plan, seeing if that uptick in usage does truly happen. But the scouting report coming out on this guy coming out of Arizona State was that, you know, kind of all that we laid out, it didn't pan out for whatever reason with the New England Patriots. There is a reason he was traded for a 7th-round pick, so I don't know if the expectations should be sky-high, but I think his utilization can give you a layer to this passing game that we haven't seen yet.
All right, 312-332-3776. Let's see. Mike in West Chicago is next. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Love you. Love your show.
Appreciate
I
want
to, if
you.
I could, give a shout-out to my buddy Jason, another diehard Bears fan. I have a question about the Robert Quinn trade.
Yep.
First, I love the trade. My question is to you guys, with the available cap under the cap space, do you build a defensive line and offensive line first, or would you still go to the draft?
Courtney?
It's a good question. And to be able to find seasoned pass rushers, because, I mean, I haven't, you know, we'll know in a couple months what the strength of this year's draft class is going to be. Is it going to be that you can find edge rushers in the 4th round at a bargain, or that you need to spend heavy up, you know, high draft capital up front? I think getting proven pass rushers that are younger, maybe in that 26 to 27, just as they're about to hit their prime. If that's the way that they go and spend heavy, because they do have they're around $125 million under the cap right now for 2023, I wouldn't fault them for going all in and doing that to rebuild that unit in free agency. But
thanks, Mike.
You did hear what Ryan Pohl said yesterday, that he felt pretty confident, and I don't know, obviously it's not going to sandbag the guys that were behind Robert Quinn. You know, Travis Gibson's surpassed Al-Kadeen Muhammad in moments for playing time, which is good. Muhammad came here as a free agent. They like what he brings to the table. Is he your end-all, be-all answer at that position? No, probably not, but as a rotational player, sure. And they like what they've seen in Dom Robinson. I think everybody should, because this guy played offense 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago at Miami, Ohio, and now he's a high-ceiling, high-reward player that you got in the 5th round. So they've already started to take the steps to rebuild that defensive line. If somebody becomes available in free agency and you want to pay big on an edge rusher, I don't see the harm in doing that first before you would, you know, go find somebody else on the offensive line. But I do think getting the help comes via free agency and not the draft for especially the offensive line.
And let's not forget that they also have to look down the road, not too far, probably summer 24 after the 23 season,
mm-hmm.
Justin Fields extension.
Sure.
So you're not going to spend every dollar of the 125.5 they've got right this second. You're going to go, I'm going to tuck a little of that away. I can roll it over. I can figure out what I can do. Yeah, if there's something I want, I'm buying that. But I'm going to save some. So if Justin is who we think he is, I'm going to have to pay him $40 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Zach LaMine scored 28 in 35 minutes last night. 6 threes. Should we still be worried about his knee? He looked awfully good to me. Plus, how good is the Bulls bench? They drilled the Pacers. That is next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
At TV last night. Coach Wonstead, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, me, John Shipman, our boss. And Chip, you know, he's very easy to work for. But if we're going to wear costumes for Halloween or ugly Christmas sweaters,
mm-hmm.
either the whole crew does, all four of us, or nobody. He doesn't want, you know, me in a either like a shirt jacket or a sport coat and jeans, Wani in a three-piece suit, and Alex and Lance dressed like Darth Vader. He just doesn't want that. So he puts out the text about, hey, if we're going to do this, everyone wears one or nobody. I'm the first to respond. And I said, no costume, I'm out. His response, okay, no costumes. Immediately, Alex Brown and Lance firing. So effing Cap doesn't want to wear one, so we all get screwed out of wearing costumes. Wani doesn't want to wear one either.
What do they want to go as? Have they told you?
They have not. But Lance takes it serious. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Lance listens every day. Lance texts me. I think he was Darth Vader last year. He was something like that.
Full head-on, yeah. Mask, the whole thing. Can you make out what someone's saying with that, or does it sound distorted? Yeah. I don't know how those things work.
I'm trying to remember exactly what he wore. Somebody text me from over there and tell me. He might not have had the whole face shield on. He had some goofy costume on. Alex had something on. And I think last year Olin had some kind of costume, but not like crazy. And I was just dressed like me. And so now they want all of us. So they want me to go as Mr. Clean.
I was trying to rack my brain. Can you do some sort of themed costume where all four of you are part of the same theme?
I can't get those guys to coordinate what they want to eat during the show, let alone costumes. No shot.
Okay.
So I don't know what to go.
I was going to think that you guys could all do the Anchorman stuff. That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
There's four of you. So yeah,
that's
that
a
would
great
work.
Idea.
That's a great idea.
I'm surprised we haven't seen like TV networks, local and or national, do that during Halloween.
I've never seen that.
Me neither.
That whammy. Yeah.
So now you're into
Cap,
it. Now see. So
Cap
they
is literally Ron Burgundy too. This is perfect.
That would be awesome. That's a great idea.
I like that idea.
That is a very good idea. So we'll see what I end up doing. Zach LaVine last night scored 28 and 35 minutes. I'm not worried about his knee. He looks good. He's attacking the rim. He's rising up from three. Six threes, I believe, last night. DeMar is doing a really good job passing the ball out of double teams. Vooch is playing really good basketball. When they run the offense inside to him and he kicks it out, you're getting open looks for Patrick Williams knocked down a three. You saw threes, as I said, from Zach, Alex Caruso, Kobe White. Io was 4 for 4 from three the other day. I'm good with how Zach's playing so far.
And he even admitted to it last night that they're not the most high-volume three-point shooting team, and the stats would support that considering they're the second lowest in the NBA, but he can be a part of jump-starting that. You know, season-high 23 points for him. I think that matches, I think he'd hit that one of his earlier games, the three that he's played in the season.
Zach,
so, yes, got,
he had 28 last night.
So I look at this situation. You wonder about his knee and, like, is this going to be a problem? I know he said he's not close to dunking yet and that's probably going to take some time. Him coming off the bench, them kind of slowly working him into this role, that seems like a deliberate way to make sure that he won't be missing time. If I'm reading that correctly.
Yes. Okay. Again, he says it's just managing it and being smart. He won't commit to back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's notable, and that's what you expect.
Correct. We got spoiled here, and I'm as guilty as anyone. When Michael played 82 every year, if he missed, it was a major deal. It's not the way it is today.
Correct.
Guys are more careful with their body. They take Veterans Day at practice.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, you'll see their veteran guy. He's excused today.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is what it is. So are you worried, Snorling, at all about him? The bench was awesome last night.
The bench looked great. Andre Drummond pregame saying he's the best rebounder of the last century was a bit much to me, but I mean, it's hard to dispute. At least he knows where his skill set lies. LaVine, I'm getting less and less worried about each and every day. I think they're still going to manage him on back-to-backs, but on a nightly basis, if the knee's not going to hold him back, he can play 35 minutes and be really effective offensively, then I'm a lot less worried about this team than I was a week and a half ago when the season started.
Yeah, the loss to Cleveland, third game in four nights, back-to-back. So you come from, who'd they lose to on Friday? Washington. Fly home, home opener. Zach's first game, you get drilled. Everyone's panicked. And then you drill Boston on Monday after being down 19 in the first quarter, and you win by 18, I think it was, 120 to 102. And now you come back and you beat an entertaining but Indiana team.
They're really bad. We can be honest. They're fun to watch. They are fun to watch, but they're really bad.
Like Benedict Mathurin and Tyrese Halliburton. Like, there's some good players there. They're just not a very good team. Now you go to San Antonio. Then you come home. I don't remember who they have. And then they go to Brooklyn to play the net. Like, every night's a challenge. So it'll be fun. You're locked in on football, but
it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to watch early season NBA. Like, because I love when the storylines incite panic, like with the Sixers starting 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love what Doc said about them the other day, that they are nowhere near ready to compete right now. Mm-hmm. And it's true. But, like, for, you know, it's harder in an 82-game season to truly buy into those things early on. But I always love seeing what they end up becoming. Because the Nets right now, and people freaking out about Ben Simmons, and is this going to be same story all over again? And Kyrie Irving saying, relax, right, let the guy be who he is. That's, I feel like it's like a living, breathing ecosystem, the NBA season, where these things, you know, they're malleable. They change all the time. And I feel like for this Bulls team, you were mentioning the bench, 43 bench points last night. Where was that last season? That's double their average from last season.
Correct.
So, and Zach LaVine coming off the bench, too, in that sort of role, especially with that fourth quarter when, you know, the Pacers nearly were like, they closed the game and I think the line was 13.5 and there were a lot of people panicking. That's a good role right now. And it's like figuring out how he can fit in here until his health is fully where you need it to be at, where the knee is no longer even being talked about. That's not a bad way to do it.
No. And then interior points. I think the over-under on interior points last night was 44.5. And Kendall said, you have to go over to be a really good team. You have to go inside first. Go inside out. They got 46. Interior points. They had 30 at the break. They did not do as good a job in the second half getting the ball inside. And all of a sudden you blinked and went, they're only up 4. And then they pulled away late. Mm-hmm. So it's a good win.
Is the bench mob back?
Potentially.
It kind of feels like it, right? The bench came in, like Boston, the Boston game's a perfect example. You're down 19, the bench comes in, and they just killed Boston's second unit.
Dragic is a great signing.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
How about him? Twice he penetrates, flips it up, and Drummond just runs to the rim and gets it and smashes it home. One right at the buzzer of the shot clock. Yeah, I really like that bench mob as well. 312-332-3776. We have the Cap and J Hood cut of the day brought to you by our friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. A few more thoughts from Courtney. We'll be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, home stretch, Cap J Hood, Courtney in for Hoodie. She's back with me on Tuesday, and we'll be out at Espresso in Bannockburn. I don't know why. Danny said we'd like to expose you to different suburbs. You're going to Espresso, your favorite breakfast place. So he called the owner, Gus. Gus, can Cap do the show there with Courtney? Absolutely. So you and I will be there. They have great food.
I'm excited.
We'll have a good time. Here is the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day brought to you by our friends David Flom, Matt Moore at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
I almost think Adolf is the middle name is worse, because then if you tell people the full name, then they're like, oh.
Right. Like, can you imagine if your kid was, like, on the high school football team? Adolf! The coach couldn't even keep a straight face. Adolf, what are you doing jumping offside?
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Make sure you try the mint Oreo ice cream pie. Oh, my God.
At Chicago Cut.
Yes. Get the lobster escargot, number one selling appetizer on the menu. Their burgers are hand-packed, and they're incredible. You're an ice cream fan.
I am.
Your favorite flavor, because so am I.
Probably mint chocolate chip.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's tremendous. Tremendous. And if you put it, like, right on top of a chocolate chip cookie, like, that's living.
Sounds like the thing that you want me to go get at Chicago Cut.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Okay. Shay, you an ice cream fan?
Who isn't an ice cream fan? I had a nice bowl of chocolate ice cream late last night before I went to bed. A little dessert.
Would that be like a chocolate chip?
Just chocolate.
Milk chocolate? Dark chocolate?
Yeah, milk chocolate.
113-pound man, do you eat ice cream?
I'm not a big desserts guy.
That's what I mean. Who's not a dessert guy?
I like it, but I'm not a big...
What an answer.
Like, I'm not going to crave it. Like, that's my biggest thing.
So you're savory then?
Yeah, I just don't like sweets.
So he'd be craving that lobster escargot appetizer.
It's really
Jake. Great. What about like a chocolate covered pretzel?
No, thank you.
I'm not big on the chocolate covered pretzels either.
I'm right honestly, there with Courtney.
Anything
I love
chocolate.
The chocolate covered pretzel so good.
Anything
you get
chocolate
the salty
to know.
With the
see, I don't like salt with my chocolate. No,
I don't do sweet and savory at the same time.
Bingo.
Not a fan.
Like chicken and waffles, I don't get either.
It's not
you
my
want
favorite.
To eat the chicken. Hey, I don't want maple syrup all over my chicken. It's not for me.
I'm with you.
If I'm going to get waffles with maple syrup, some blueberry, whatever it is, that's fine. I don't want to mix the two. I don't get that. But some people like it. Shay, your favorite flavor is chocolate?
Yes. I know it's the basic thing, but yes, I am the basic guy.
You are. Your wife an ice cream person?
Yeah, she likes like chocolate chip cookie dough, coffee.
Coffee ice cream is highly underrated, by
the way. I agree.
My grandmother
loves
it.
My wife loves coffee or coffee toffee ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Try the second one.
Yeah, not for me. Tomorrow, we'll have a Bears Friday with Connor McKnight. Today, you're going to get to talk to Luke Getsy and Alan Williams.
Yes.
This will be Luke's first foray with the media, coming basking in the glow of what an awesome game plan you had on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to ask him?
I think the quarterback design runs, I mean, that is the storyline of this week because it's just so different than what we had seen. He had 10 in this game for 55 yards, 5 first downs, and he had 13 for like 28 yards total in the first 6 games of the year. So I remember asking, I think I asked him about it last week, either him or Matt Eberflus, just like the utilizing Fields' legs in the low red zone more often than they had been.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the 3-yard touchdown on the design run. That was Fields' second rushing touchdown of the year, so vast improvement there. I think the Velus Jones stuff is going to get some traction today from Luke Getsy about what are we missing here? What might he be missing from not being able to get himself a little bit more involved there? So curious about that, and also curious, too, with the offensive line going against a team that leads the NFL in sacks right now per game in Dallas. You got to max protect. You got to do whatever you can because Micah Parsons is a game wrecker.
He is. And all of a sudden you go, oh, God, he just stripped the ball out or he tipped a pass and it got picked. All that can happen. But he's so aggressive trying to get up the field to make a play. Screen pass is a tremendous weapon.
Yep. Quick game. The whole thing.
Get it out.
The underrated storyline, considering there's been a lot of news with this team the last 24 hours with Robert Quinn, outside of that with Lucas Patrick, likely
Larry Borum.
Borum's the one I want to know about because he's got a concussion right now. He was DNP on Wednesday. If he can't go, does that mean we're going to see Alex Leatherwood for the first time this season at right tackle? Is he ready to play right tackle? Because remember, he missed 4 weeks with he was on the non-football illness list and
mono.
He was just activated off of it last week. So there he technically hasn't been activated yet. Like, he's still on that. They have that 21-day window. But will he be filling in for Borum at right tackle? If so, I mean, if he plays well, that could be his job.
No question. But you wonder, why would the Vegas Raiders draft a guy in the 21 draft, mm-hmm. right?
They overdrafted. I think that that's pretty much.
And a year later, we're out. Received. Gone. Get out of here.
After he played a lot, too. It's not like he didn't play. He played over 1,000 snaps.
Right. I just wonder if it was more than just football performance.
Bears actually, I mean, they claimed him. That's picking up all of his guarantees.
Correct.
It's a big move.
I think it was over $5 million mm-hmm. in what they're paying him.
Yep.
So we'll see how this whole thing breaks out. It will be fun to watch on Sunday because that's a real test.
Yeah.
Like, New England's not a great team. They may finish last in that division. Shea was screaming all last week, you guys are overrating New England. They're not that good.
Everybody was.
Points.
They beat the brakes off two really bad teams. Two teams that might fire their coaches and two teams that have horrific defenses.
Who are the two that might fire their coaches? Cleveland?
Lions and Browns.
Browns. I know they just gave Dan Campbell a vote of confidence yesterday. He's 1-5.
Yeah. We'll see if that vote of confidence stands if they finish like 3-14.
Right. Tough to keep your job then. All right, back tomorrow for a Bears Friday with Connor McKnight. You have to go to Hallis.
I do.
Just keep grinding.
Love every day.
Love the work ethic.
Thank you.
All right, that's Courtney Cronin. I'm Cap. You've got Greeny next, and then Carmen Miller, 12 to 2. Waddle, Sylvie, 2 to 6. Bleck and Abdallah, 6 to 8, with Song of the Night and a whole bunch of fun. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you.